Welcome to Blightbringers, a Legion of Everblight-focused podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tyrone, and joining me again this week is Ryan. Welcome back, buddy.
Heyo, what's up?
Not much. We, a little bit of peek behind the curtain there. We just finished recording an episode, and we're gonna do another one.
Because we are busy adults with busy lives who do things on regular schedules, and definitely, you know, I was going somewhere with this and I lost it now. Damn it!
Yeah, you definitely lost it. It turns out sometimes it's easier to record two episodes in one day than two episodes over a couple days.
Yeah, I think this is the first time we've done this.
Yeah, it has, actually.
Usually we can find the time.
Yeah. No, we've been crazy busy. We explained it a bit last episode, but it's still true today. You know, lots of stuff going on. Holidays are coming. But we're just trying to kind of get a couple ready for you all to listen to.
Yeah, I'm going to do some cool talking. I'm going to probably look at my cat a lot and talk about him because he's being adorable right now.
Is that Bub?
It is.
Bub's a good cat.
Bubba cat. He is a good boy.
Yeah.
He is currently just laying like a croissant and looking at me like, what's up, Dad? It's like, I appreciate you, small child. I appreciate you.
There you go. Shoutouts to Jay Larson and Scott Manning if they listen.
Yep. Shoutouts to everyone who keeps tagging me in cat-related memes. I love you.
We still have that one from Jacob on our page with the cat at the microphone saying that's you, and I appreciate that one a lot.
I mean, it's basically true. Like, I'd like to say it's a lie. It's not. It's about right.
Yeah, so this episode, maybe not super long, but what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the theme remix that we saw in August with the release of Oblivion. Kind of talk about how things have changed and what we've been seeing in regards to army list composition since the update has dropped. It's been a few months now.
Yeah, so a while ago we went over in detail on the themes and how we thought, you know, they would play and just the different aspects of them. And then we started doing the Warlock deep dive where we tied it back to those themes. Well, the themes changed pretty significantly. And so I feel like it's worth mentioning again and just kind of touching on them. And this way, when we restart the caster deep dive, which is a thing I would at least like to do.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do that.
Then we can tie it back to the themes as they stand now versus, you know, things that are almost probably a year old at this point when we originally did it.
Yeah, we don't want what we're talking about to be out of date. And at least this way, we can point to a more recent episode and be like, hey, this is where things are now.
Yep. We definitely talked about it once, and now we're going to talk about it again. And y'all are going to listen. At least if you're listening to this, you're going to listen. Please don't turn me off.
That's okay. That's how this works, but all right. So, we are going to start with Children of the Dragon. This was the theme that we had the pleasure of previewing with one Hungerford.
Yeah, nice guy.
Yeah, super nice guy.
Still think he's wrong about how he makes jambalaya, but whatever. We'll talk about that.
Alright, I didn't know we had jambalaya beef, but we can talk about that after the show.
Oh yeah, there's beef.
in the jambalaya or not? I'm now confused.
Yes.
Alright, great. So, army composition for Children of the Dragon. We've got Legion Warlocks, non-character warbeasts, which you'll see that in basically all of these now. They all opened up to all warbeasts.
Which is super nice.
Yes, it's very important for Legion. We got Azrael, Typhon, and Zuriel, so we've got a trio of characters available.
Yep, Typhon got added. He's a nice addition to that one.
And we got Bladedness models / units, Forsaken solos, Incubi solos, Spell Martyr solos, and Succubus solos.
Yep, as well as the standard 1/1 minion per theme.
That's right. So worth noting here is Succubus are also new, so we gain access to a caster attachment in the Succubus and the Super Solo Kralix.
Yep, because he is considered a Succubus.
Yep, he is excellent. I love that guy.
I have such a mixed relationship with him.
Yeah.
Like, some games he does really, really well for me and kills Lanessa and makes me super happy. And then other games he gets sniped out, like, top of two or misses, like, 9 shots. It's makes me wonder why I spent the rec point on him.
Yeah, I've actually, like, defensively, I found him surprisingly tough to eliminate. Like, he has 5 boxes, he's got steady.
Yeah, if you can get him behind a wall or something, he's just casually def 19.
Yeah. Dude's amazing.
18, 19? I don't remember if he's a 15 or 14 base. Like whatever, that. It's high.
Yeah. He's got a pretty reasonable gun. Anyway, we're not going to talk about Kralix. I like him, you're kind of mixed, that's fine. Requisition options. We've got a Blighted Nyss weapon crew unit, so that is the Scathe crew, and that's it. one yep, Legion Command Attachment, so any of our UAs.
Mm-hmm.
5 Incubi solos, so you get the full card.
Yep.
And one other small or medium-based Legion solo that's not covered in that list.
Right, so that'd be your Forsaken, your Spell Martyrs, your Succubus, your Kralix, and I think that's about it.
Yeah, basically. Warlords and...
Yep, Warlords as well.
Yeah. I like this theme a lot now that it's not limited to the Nephilim.
Yep. So it's, I think, important to note that we got the Weapon Crew unit for free. That we didn't have that before, and that got added in. So
yeah,
kind of nice to be able to just take a free unit. There's been a couple lists where I've done that just because I wasn't taking a unit. I was taking a bunch of beasts and having that scoring option, just saying like, okay, it's costing me a rec point, but it can hold zones and maybe it'll do something.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. And I guess we should talk about the benefits really quick. Nephilim war beasts in this army gain unyielding. So that hasn't changed.
Nope. That's as it always has been.
It's still fine.
Yep. It's definitely, it helps with some of the squishier ones. So like your blood seers go up to arm 20 in melee, same thing as protectors. Soldiers go up to 18, which isn't terrible. More importantly is Azrael and Zuriel both gain it. So Zuriel goes up to arm 19 in melee, which is actually kind of reasonable.
Yeah.
And Azrael goes up to arm 20. So they get a little bit harder to get rid of.
Yeah, pretty good. And then for the final benefit, warlocks in this army gain Tactician Blightedness. This is our first source of Tactician in the faction, but it is only on our warlocks.
Right. And there's a couple warlocks it doesn't affect, and people kind of get this incorrect at times. The big one I've seen is Fianna. She doesn't actually have the Blightedness tag. She's a Strider.
That's right.
So she doesn't get Tactician going through things. She still has the aura for Otherness, but she doesn't get it. Other important ones to note are Thagrosh obviously doesn't get it, same as Animag because they're both Ogryn, and I believe Kallus doesn't get it because he's technically not a Ness.
Yeah, I think Kallus is just a Legion warlock.
Yeah, he's basically a construct
without
you know, any of the fun construct rules. But Saren, Ryas, Abby 1 and 2, all the other warlocks get it, and they get to make some use out of it.
Yeah, the twins, it's really interesting because you get a double bubble.
Yeah, you get it's like a 20-inch across bubble of Tactician because both of them gain it.
That's right.
So that's kind of neat. Important, well, not really important, but worth noting, if you're reading the actual rule off War Room, it does have a typo in it. So, you know, it works like every other Tactician. This shouldn't have to be explained, but it works like every other Tactician. Don't be a jackass.
Yeah, the last Blightedness should say Tactician Blightedness.
Yeah. It's literally just a typo, and I'm sure it'll get fixed at some point. But don't be a jackass. That's the long and short of that one.
Standouts in this theme, obviously the characters, right?
Yep, having access to all three characters without having to take Krissa, the twins, or Thagrosh is kind of nice. It's opened up some options for like the Abbeys if they want to take Typhon, Vel 1, Vel 2 even, if you like want to have any of those. And just being able to get Typhon back in lists away from Thagrosh opens things up a little bit, as well as not just being limited down to the character or down to Nephilim now. So you can actually take a Seraph for Slipstream if you need it. You have the option of a Nerf if you need just kind of a lighter, beatier beast. You have the access for if you need or want another heavy, like, say, a Carnivian, it's there now. So you're not just limited to the Nephilim, which admittedly have their uses, but are fairly, let's say, shoehorned into certain roles, and they don't always do the best at them.
Yeah, they're slightly probably overcosted still, and they don't really have the output that would be expected of their point investment.
Yeah, it sometimes gets hard to justify, like, a soldier at 9 points, honestly.
Yeah.
Whereas at least with, you know, Unyielding, they get to be arm 18 in melee. It's a little easier to swallow. It's still, I still think a lot of them, you need to have a reason for having them beyond just, oh, well, I want something with Unyielding, but there's definitely options there now where you're not getting shoehorned into just having to take them.
Yeah.
And then also, obviously, the requisition changes open things up a bit because now you don't have to take 75 points of beasts to get 3 things. So that's helpful.
Yeah, that's a big change. not having to take that much beef just to get a free UA is super helpful in list construction.
Yeah, so if you're newer to the game, the way it used to work with themes is you had to take X number of points of beasts or units to get a free card. Now they just said if you're playing a 75-point game, you get 3 free cards.
That's right, yeah.
Whereas, you know, back in the day, but it was only a couple months ago.
Yeah.
With like Children of the Dragon, you were maybe only ever getting 1 free card, maybe 2 if you pushed it.
Yeah, you would take like Zuriel, Azrael, and a Bolt Thrower for the 50.
Yep.
And you'd get 2 free cards.
Right. Whereas now you can take the battle group you want to be taking and not get hamstrung by effectively being 10 to 12 points down.
So, I think it's worth mentioning Incubi solos can be free in this. Incubi are a really unique part of Legion that I think are underutilized.
Yeah, so they count as solos for purposes of flag scoring, so that's always neat. It's always weird, like the timing on them, because people often get them mixed up with like Kallus 1. So yeah. I've had a lot of games where people will be like, oh, well, I can't kill this thing because you'll just put an Incubi down and, you know, snacking doesn't work, or this RFP effect doesn't work. It's like, no, it's not Kallus 1. It absolutely does. That'll stop me from popping it out.
And you just nod your head and don't correct them.
I mean, that's certainly one way to do it. I prefer to I prefer to let people know, especially if they directly ask, like, hey, this is how this works, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's people will often get that one confused, and it's important to note that with Kallus 1, there isn't a lot of good ways to stop Incubi from coming out. I think the only one is consume.
Not attacks.
Right, and non-attacks. So Electro Leaps, Spine Bursts, Slams, Throws, things like that. Whereas normal Incubi, if you can RFP them before destroyed, you just shut the Incubi off. They don't come out.
Yeah, they can come up from somewhere else. It's not like you're assigning Incubi to certain models.
No, it depends a lot on where they're coming from, I guess. So, again, compared to Kallus 1, where they can come out of any base size, normal Incubi are only small-based and only friendly faction warrior. So that would be your Hex Hunters, your Swordsmen, your Archers, Ice Witches, Black Frost Shard, Shepherds, Forsaken? I think they can come out of Forsaken.
Yeah, they should be able to.
But that's about it. Whereas Kallus Feet is, you want to run Chosen and Rot Wings and other stuff up, great. That'll pop out of all of them. Yeah. Same thing with Raptors or Hellmouth Tentacles or whatever else. Normal Incubi can't do all of that, so it's important to note the differences between when they can come out between the two things and on whom.
Yeah, Kallus is the exception, but he's the more common thing you will see.
Yeah, and because he's so common, people will often get confused and just think that, no, this is just an Incubi rule. It's really not. It's just a Kallus rule.
So I love Succubus. I love both the Succubus UA and the Ancralix. I think they're good inclusions in any list in Children of the Dragon.
I mean, I don't necessarily disagree. Kralix is just a 6-point solo. If you don't have anything else, like, he's a good combat solo. I have, like I had said earlier, a love-hate relationship with him because half the time he does great work, and half the time my dice fail me, and he just dies.
Yeah.
Which, it's a dice game that happens.
Yeah.
Succubus, I haven't used her in a while, but it also depends a lot on the caster you're taking.
That's right.
Like, I would run Abby 1 a lot, and I have no need for a Succubus with Abby 1. Could I put a cloud on a thing? Sure. But, like, I'm not getting the free upkeep, because I'm already getting free upkeeps.
Yeah, generally.
And that cloud isn't really worth it for 4 points?
No.
So, especially when I can just take Gobbers for 2, like,
yeah, whatever. And like, if you're looking at like Lilith 1 or 2, I think they make a lot of sense. Ryas probably benefits from a Succubus.
Yeah, any of the low fury casters, generally the Succubus is a good buy. Anything like Thagrashes, Abbeys, Vale, I think it's not a bad buy necessarily, but you have to know what you're doing with it, and it has to have a purpose. It's not as much of an auto include.
If you have multiple upkeeps, it can make sense.
Yeah, like a Succubus with Fianna, for example, makes a lot of sense because she has 3 upkeeps she wants to keep out and she's only Fury 6. This lets you actually be able to camp a couple or maybe offensively use Gallows.
Yep.
Or, you know, hot swap something and still have camp. Whereas somebody like a Lilith 1, You're really going to want it, if, especially if you want to try and cycle Parasite. Then you look at maybe Vale 2 with her two or I think she's got two upkeeps. She only goes down to a Fury 6, and the turn she wants to go for an assassination or blow some stuff up, she can. Succubus isn't as useful, but it can be. It all depends on your game plan.
Yeah. Who was your first thought for building a Children of the Dragon list?
Abby won? Immediately.
Gaining access to all those characters?
Getting access to Typhon.
Yeah, Typhon.
Flying Typhon is fucking terrifying.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's a good point.
Flying Speed 7 Typhon with Fury 5 and free charges.
Yeah, and can trample over buildings.
It sure can. And then you give him Slipstream, so now his walking threat range for sprays is like 17 inches.
It's pretty reasonable.
Like, it's pretty ridiculous. Yeah, that was my first thought, and my second thought was Lilith 3, because again, she really likes having Typhon, and she can do that now.
Yeah, it's really nice that we have a Typhon somewhere in our themes. Like, he's kind of been absent from the table for a long time because of the limitations on themeless.
Yeah, I mean, you still saw him with Thags, right?
Because of course.
That was the staple of the Thags 1 Children of the Dragon list for a long time, was all three characters, because that's how it worked.
Yeah.
But now, opening it up and allowing, again, like a Vale 1, a Vale 2, or the Abbeys to take him, just opens up options for all of them.
Absolutely. So it's interesting. I think Children of the Dragon still quite a good theme, but for different reasons now.
Yeah, I think currently it's a little underexplored. People jumped on Ravens and stuck with PT, and I think Children still has a place. It's just waiting for people to take a little bit more time and figure out exactly how to do it, where to do it, and what it's going to be doing.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to touch on before we move on?
Nope, I think I'm good.
All right, great. Let's talk about the weird one.
Oracles?
Oracles, yeah.
Oh, God. All right, here. I'll get this one since you got the last one.
Go for it.
We'll switch this off. So the comp rules are, it's Legion Warlocks, which is all of them. I don't think any of the themes are restricted by what kind of Warlock can be in them.
They are not.
Non-character Warbeasts, which, again, is standard now. Proteus gets his addition to Oracles, which he was not there before, which is kind of nice.
Yep.
Models units with magic ability, spawning vessel units, Beastmistress solos, bladed Nis Shepherd solos, Incubi solos, Spell Murder solos, and the usual Merc minion.
Except you can also take a battle engine.
Yep, sure can. That is, yeah. And it's important to note, this is any number of Merc minion, or I guess minion unit, solo, and battle engines. So yep. If you want to run a list with 6 battle engines, feel like you're playing over 75 at that point, but you could feasibly do it.
Yep, the option is there. This is the only list that we have. This is the only theme list that makes all of minions available to us.
Yep. Important to note, though, unlike the Scorn theme that does similar with minions, they are not friendly faction.
No, and we'll get to a weird thing about them in a little bit. Army composition, we've got a new edition of Incubi solos as well. They were not in there previously, and you will see why.
Yep, they got added too, and so, as I had said, so did Proteus. He finally got a home, which is kind of neat. So the requisition options are 1 Legion Command Attachment, 1 Bladed Nis Sorceress and Hellion, 5 Incubi solos, or 1 other small or medium base solo. So Incubi got added in for free, which they weren't there before, which is kind of neat.
Yep.
The Command Attachment has always been there, the Sorcon Hellion has always been there, and small or medium based solo has always been there, which again will be your Shepherds, your Spell Martyrs, and your Forsaken. I don't think we actually have any medium based solos that would fit in there.
That's right. Yeah, the only ones we have are Primal Terrors.
Yeah. And then special rules, so the things you get from the theme.
This is where it gets super weird.
Yeah, it gets weird and a little confusing for people. Minion models in this army are bladed models. When a living small-based minion warrior model destroyed by an enemy attack, collateral damage, or continuous effect, you can replace it with an Incubi model as if it were a faction model. So, what this means is they get the keyword of Blighted.
Yes.
Added to their card. They're still not friendly faction, but you can spawn Incubi out of them as if they were friendly faction. So that's a little... It's interesting, right?
Yeah, it's super interesting.
It's not... You know, the go-to, I'm trying to think of the word here. It's not like a go-to thing for them, I don't think. but it's definitely an interesting way to get Incubi around and give you options to do some different things. It is also important for the next ability to note that they are bladed.
Yep.
Which...
It's a very unique benefit. We don't see anything quite like this in the game, where a benefit is leveraging a unique mechanic in the faction quite like this. Like, we have Infernals where they can, you know, they don't have to upkeep on their, they don't have to tithe on their first turn. Like, that's kind of interesting for Infernals, but like, this has like ramifications towards the whole minion, like, faction. Like, we can take any of their small base models and they all become Incubi carriers.
Sure do, which means your ambushers, like your commandos and what are the other ones? The little fish people that can ambush. You can now ambush on and have Incubi ambushing effectively.
Yeah,
which I guess isn't terrible.
I guess I should say potential Incubi carriers, because you still do have to take the cards. They're not, you don't just get Incubi.
Right. And so it's worth noting as well, and this is another two weird interactions. Number one, because everything gets the bladed keyword, Lanissa gets animosity against everything. So if you didn't hate her already, you should now.
What a jerk.
That's just stupid. Number two, the weird one being Callus, you can't spawn his feet Incubi out of minion models.
That's right.
Because his feet specifies friendly faction, despite the fact that this theme says you can.
Yeah.
Because the theme will allow you to out of the minion models, the feet doesn't. So it gets weird.
Yeah. There's one other blighted importance. If you, for some reason, are taking Animag and like Gudrun or the Boker, they count for her ritual slaughter ability.
They sure do.
So you can cast a free spell off of them, which is weird because like we didn't have access to that before. If you took her anywhere else, Ritual Slaughter was essentially a non-ability.
Yep, so now you can take Gudrun and two Bokers and have a couple outlets to get that off still.
Yeah, so it's a really interesting... the rule itself is very simple, but the ramifications of it are really kind of neat.
Yeah, it's a little bit more widespread than I think people think upon looking at it. The other thing it affects, though, is the second ability for the theme. When an enemy model ends its activation within 2 inches of a bladed model in this army, the enemy model suffers continuous corrosion. So since everything in your army gets the blighted keyword, well...
The minions do.
All the minions do, and most of the Legion stuff already has it. Not everything, but most. It basically means if they come in and try and kill a thing, and either don't kill it, or maybe kill it and an Incubi pops out, they don't have a second attack to kill that Incubi, you just corroded whatever they sent in.
Yeah.
Which, against single wound infantry, so say Immortals, for example, that could be huge.
Yeah, it does suffer from the problem where continuous effects only matter on your opponent's turn.
It does, but it's also important, I guess, to note that if somebody tries to jam you with single wound infantry, you can just not kill them, leave it alone, and then make them have to roll all of that corrosion on their turn.
That's true, and some portion of them will die.
Yep, that's a weird clock thing that people don't realize and maybe don't immediately comprehend, but like, if you have to spend, say, 2 minutes at the start of your turn, every turn rolling corrosion checks because half your army is constantly corroded, like, when you get to turn 6 or 7, you're going to have a pretty good clock advantage, or you're going to have your opponent under a lot more pressure than they thought they should be under at this point.
Yeah. So we got one last thing, right?
Yep. It's the same benefit as it was before. Friendly models units can begin the game affected by upkeep spells of the Warlocks. These spells are targets must be declared before either player deploys their models. Warlocks in the army do not have to pay Fury to upkeep their spells during the first turn. So you're still stuck by normal targeting restrictions. If a spell is friendly faction, then it still has to go on friendly faction. But if there is something that is friendly only, I think Banishing Ward is friendly. I think that's the only one.
I think so, yeah.
But that can go feasibly on anything. And you don't have to pay Fury for it. If the rumors currently going around are true with the changes for like pigs that might be coming up in the next dynamic update, with them being able to deploy a little bit differently than they do now.
Oh my god.
that could make them very viable for this theme.
That could be super obnoxious.
Yes, it could. This was posted on Facebook. Hungerford had said it's just kind of early in testing, and they were looking for feedback on it a little bit. But the general idea was, instead of deploying at AD, you could deploy a token past your AD line for certain units, pigs being one of them. And then when you wanted to deploy them, it would be like the Helldiver or the pigs. You would have to deploy all of them within so many inches of that token. They could start the game dug in, and I believe they couldn't move that turn. There was something.
Yeah, they have to sacrifice movement.
Yeah, but it would allow you to put them a lot farther up the field. They could still spawn, be incubi spawn targets, which is neat, and you could put them in such a place as, like, continuous corrosion would be super obnoxious for your opponent, as well as if you, again, had, like, a Saren or something like that. I'd have to see how it was worded, but you could potentially put Banishing Ward on them and have them almost at the midline turn one.
All right, so I've got it here.
All right.
So, Burrow, and then it has a bracketed 3. Yep. It could be any number, obviously. So this is the Pig Burrower version. Burrow 4, you can choose not to deploy this unit at the start of the game. If it is not deployed normally, place a burrow marker at the same time as your models within advanced deployment, up to 20 inches beyond your deployment zone and not within 6 inches of another burrow marker. So it's a lot like distant deployment, I guess?
Yep, seems like.
Something like that. So you got to be aware that the distance that you have is a bit more. At the beginning of each of your maintenance phases after your first turn, you can place this unit completely within 4 inches of the burrow marker and remove the marker from the table. If there is not room to place a model, remove it from play. Models in this unit can begin dug in when placed in this manner, but must forfeit their normal movement or combat action during their activation the turn they are placed into play. So that's a change that is interesting.
It's also not a guarantee. It's still only in like a potential testing phase, so don't get too excited.
Yeah.
But yeah, that could lend a lot more viability to this theme, because the minute the piggies get that, they can now start at the midfield and be dug in and just be a gun line sitting there waiting. So yeah, for your Saren, your Vale 2, your people that have like a death debuff on top of their prey, you could get some pretty good work out of them.
Yeah. I think so. It's up to 20 inches beyond your normal deployment zone. So that's 27 for first player and 30 for second player, assuming no other deployment zone bonuses.
Yep. And they've got 10-inch guns, I believe. So you can reach out and touch somebody.
Yeah, that's pretty obnoxious. So there, it's a lot like ambush, though. Has to be the second turn or further into the game, but yeah.
Yep, and people can, if they know the marker is there, you can obviously run stuff to block off places where the pigs would come out, which gives that a little bit of counterplay.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
So we kind of got into the weeds on something that is interesting for Oracles there.
Yep, figured it was worth mentioning as a possible upcoming.
Yeah. So when I first read this list, my jank brain immediately went to Kallus 2. And decided it would be obscenely obnoxious to run Kallus 2 with his auto fire aura in double conjunction croak with this auto corrosion aura. Mm. And yep, just be the most irritating thing in the world.
Yeah.
Sure. Because
throw croaks in there and spread fire out too.
Yeah. So you do incubi inside of the minions. If they kill a minion, great, they're safe from corrosion, but you popped out a incubi, which now is fire.
Which, I mean, it would still be both, right?
No, maybe.
I think incubi are plated.
You know what? I'm going to look. That's very funny to me.
I'm like 90% sure incubi are plated. Oh, no, they're not.
They're not? They're not blated they're not. Solos? They're just solos? Blated.
Yeah, they're just solos.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Either you have a choice. Way. You could be on fire and corroded, or you can just be on fire.
Yeah. So to me, I think that's hilarious. I don't think it's good. Don't do what I do. But, I mean,
it's one of those things that, again, it's worth looking at, if only because of the amount of clock it's going to take somebody to have to roll, you know, say 15 or 10 models that, okay, you have to roll to see if fire and corrosion goes out on all of them.
Yeah.
Like, that can give you a clock advantage.
Yeah, that's huge. But I think the main reason you don't see Oracles right now is because of how different it is. Legion players didn't ever really have a large stable of minion models available to them. Like, we didn't buy them.
Yeah.
We never used them.
A lot of it was, like, Croaks were popular for a while, and yep, there's definitely, like, some support solos and the occasional unit. But for a lot of things, like, there was just never a reason to take minions. We never had a good reason.
Yeah.
And now, with this theme, that reason is potentially there. You know, you can take things like double Swamp Shamblers now, with actual, like, Legion units backing them up. Or you can go full ridiculousness and go, hey, I want to take two Primal Archons and two Sacral Vaults and two Thrones and just put a ton of beef in somebody's face and be like, all right, let's do this.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
So I think Oracles is one that there's a lot of options for. I think a lot of it hasn't been explored yet, at least not on a big scale where it would have gotten seen at events. But I think people are looking at it. I know I, for one, am, and it's just trying to figure out all the different options that you really have, because this is effectively, for one theme, it doubles the amount of options you have for any given role, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, all of your units you were looking at before saying, oh, well, I guess I'm taking just Hex Hunters or Ice Witches for my units. Now you're looking at it and saying, oh, I can take almost an entire other faction's worth of units. What do I want to do here? What do I need?
Yeah.
And the option is there to take it.
Yeah. The main limiting factor, though, of course, is that Legion is a very friendly faction focused faction, which I don't want to say that too often, but we care.
A lot of our stuff is friendly faction only. So if you're taking minion units, they kind of have to be self-supported.
Yeah. So, like, I would look at Feral Valks, Feral Brigands, stuff with tough that can be extra obnoxious with incubi popping out of them.
Yep.
I think it would be cool.
Commandos, if you want ambushing. I can't think of the little fish people thing that can ambush, but them. Again, Swamp Shamblers aren't a bad choice, because it's recurring little dudes that you can take two units of them now, and they're fairly cheap.
Yeah.
It obviously gives you access to the battle engines, depending on what you want. This is the only theme where you can take double Primal Archon, which is kind of cool. There's a bunch of combat solos and minions that maybe before we were looking at it and saying, oh, well, it's going to take up my one slot, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Now, you can take Maximus and Gudrun and a Bokur and be like, all right, this is fine.
Yeah, I think you never wanted to, because often you needed Isla Sight for your throne, so you're taking the Mistspeaker.
Right. But now that you can take two Mistspeakers for the cost
better
of a Naga, and, maybe throw in a couple other random support solos as well, like, the options are there.
Yeah. One last thing I want to mention, Spawning Vessels. They are not as prevalent as they used to be, but they don't care whose body they take. So there could be something worth exploring there in the heavy unit-focused Oracles list.
Yep, they don't care if it's living, undead, whatever. It all spawns the same thing inside the pot.
Yep.
Everyone's equal in the pot.
Everyone's equal in the eyes of Everblight, as long as you're blighted or dead.
He's the only equal opportunity employer on Imran.
Exactly. All right, scrolling down, we've got our third theme. This is the one that went through CID, got a bunch of new releases for it, and it's pretty commonly recognized as our best theme, or at least was for a good portion of time, and it's Primal Terrors.
Oh, that sweet, sweet Ogryn Madness.
Yeah, it's got a lot of beef in it. So, army composition, we've got Legion Warcasters, non-character War Beasts, our good bird Golab, though, Blighted Ogryn... Blighted Ogryn Models units, Blighted Rotwing units, Hellmouth units, Forsaken Solos, Spell Martyr Solos, and the typical one minion solo, one minion unit.
Yep. I don't think there was any changes to PT, correct?
They lost a benefit.
Right. I meant as far as
comp. Oh, our composition? No, it's the same.
Yeah, okay, I thought so.
So PT did not change. The requisition options also did not change. We can still take one Hellmouth unit, one Legion Command Detachment, or one small or medium-based Legion Solo.
So that actually did change slightly.
That did, yeah, actually.
Before, we couldn't take Forsaken for free, and now you can.
That's true. Yeah, so a minor change there. It could matter for your list building, but generally you're just slamming as many frickin' Ogryn as you possibly can into a list.
I mean, it opens it up a bit for, like, say, the Abbeys, if you wanted to run Beast Heavy with free Helm Hollows to hold zones.
Yeah,
now you can actually take Forsaken for free and spend more points on something else.
That's fair. I didn't consider that.
It's okay. That's what I'm here for.
I appreciate you. Special rules. We lost the +2 to deployment, which is fine, but we didn't get anything in exchange, which is less fine.
It's fine. It's all fine.
So, Blighted Ogryn Warmongers and Blighted Ogryn War Spheres in this unit gain Vengeance.
Yep, which, that's the same as it's been.
Yep.
No big changes there. PT is still, I think the option of being able to take a Forsaken for free opens it up just a little bit. It allows Beast Heavier casters to go in there. But for the most part, it's as it has always been.
Yep. Access to Golab for anybody is amazing, as always. Yep. Golab is probably our best beast at this point, I think.
Golab is a very good boy.
Yeah, I think if you have access to Golab, you should probably put him in your list, because he murders a whole lot of stuff.
Yep, especially if you can get any kind of damage buff on him. Like, he gets real weird real quick.
Yeah. Let's see. Blighted Ogryn models units, that is the Chosen, as well as the aforementioned War Spears and Warmongers. Chosen are incredible. They're so good.
Yeah, they're still just a big tank of beefy bricks that say you're going to spend way more attacks than it's worth to kill me. But if you don't, then you just never get to kill me.
Oh, yeah. And, like, if you leave them alone, they're, what, POW 14 mounts, POW 13 blades with brutal charge? Powerful charge?
So they go to POW 15 on the charge with the blades, POW 14 on the mounts, crit knockdown.
Yeah, impact attacks, POW 14.
Yeah.
Like, okay, run you over.
Yeah, it comes up. Crit knockdown is a thing that you don't ever really want to rely on, but it's sometimes hilarious when it pops up. I mean, they're still Repo 3, they're base arm 17 with excessive healing. Like, they're still just going to stand in the way and say, all right, well, you need to kill me and make sure I don't tough, and if I do, you still need to be able to kill me.
Yeah.
So, Chosen are still as Chosen do. They're obnoxiously hard to kill. Especially once you start stacking buffs on them, they get to be pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. Rotwings are great. They have Finisher, they're POW 9 base, Speed 7, half inch melee with a unique ability, Sitting Vulture, where if they're base to base with an enemy model, they have -1 defense. Worth noting, it does not stack. But even so, -1 defense in a list of defense debuffs where Primal Terrors tends to just have a million of them. You can get to, like, auto-hitting territory pretty easily.
Yep, so I think with all the buffs, Warmongers can get to, like, mat 16 or 17. Yeah, they get to a point of your defense is irrelevant.
Yeah, that's with, like, Animag or someone else with a +2 on themselves. Yeah.
Same thing with Kallus with Dark Guidance. Like, you can get to your defense is irrelevant. And because they naturally fix their own mat so well, it opens up things for, like, Kallus 2, Thagrash 1, Thagrash 2, people who don't necessarily have a mat fixer for units can still play in this theme.
Yeah, absolutely. Helm Elf being available here as a free option is what people find objectionable, and they're wrong. But
sure.
Helm Elves are great. They're one of the best units in Legion. They do a very specific job, and they do it very well.
They take up a large area of board and say you don't get to come here.
Exactly. That's what they do. They're tough to deal with Impervious Flesh, and their 8 boxes sit them near an objective and they just heal. It's super obnoxious.
Set them behind terrain and make it so people can't charge them, and they're almost impossible to get rid of.
Oh yeah. Rely on your Helm Elves, people. They're super good. Like I said, this hasn't really changed too much. You still see the regular lists with Blightbringer and Chosen and Mongers and stuff like that. You're finding a lot more room for Golab now because you're not bound to the 60 points of units.
Yep, being able that opening up allowed people to take other beasts besides just, hey, I'm going to slam dunk a Blightbringer and a Harrier in here and then fill up the rest of the list with Ogres.
Yep, it was really tight if you did anything more than that. Kallus 1 shines here as one of our premier infantry casters along with Animag. Dark Guidance is a hell of a drug, as well as what Carnage, I believe, Phantomech has.
She sure does.
Those two mat fixers turn every unit in this list to just something that is just going to wreck people.
Yep, it's not a thing people expect, except then you have like Rotwings, who are base mat 5.
Yep.
They get into base to base, go up to 6.
Mm-hmm.
You get either Dark Guidance so that they're 3 dice mat 6s, or Animag so that they're mat 8. With a Blightbringer aura, you can make a mat 10. With Gorag hanging around, they're like mat 12.
Yeah.
Like, you can just stack buffs on basically everything and say, hey, I need to hit this thing that's defense a lot. Cool. I remember at ATC last year, I had Gorag charge Iona win me the game. Because
oh, wow.
because he's base mat 7, right? He's yep. got brutal charge for the plus 2. Or powerful charge, whatever it is, that gives him a plus 2 to hit.
I think it's powerful charge.
So he goes to mat 9. His aura makes him effectively mat 11. And then Carnage made him mat 13. Like, towards the end of the game, he just charged Iona, was mat 13 against her, like, def 17. Was like, oh, cool, I need a 4 to hit. Hey, look, I hit, and you're on 2 boxes with no transfers. You're dead.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like, Primal Terror is, just from the benefit of going through CID, is one of our, like, most, and maybe not balanced, because there is a lack of guns, but I think that's inherent to Ogryn. We do have War Spears, but nobody takes them.
I mean, they don't get taken because they're not the cheapest option, right? For War Spears, it's 20 points for a 5-man unit in the attachment, versus Warmongers are 13 points for 5 people.
Yeah.
Like, and then you're only getting one attachment, but, like, I can get a whole other unit of Warmongers for what I'm saving for not taking War Spears.
Yeah.
So, that's more of, like, a meta decision right now of people taking bodies over specific tech.
And I just don't think their guns are relevant.
I don't know if I agree with that, right?
Like, they can be, obviously, but I think overall...
I think... War Spears are a more targeted approach. Like, they really want to see, like, the old Karchev meta of, like, 10 jacks.
Sure.
Because they will just chew through that, and the jacks never get to trade effectively. Whereas that's not really a thing you're seeing right now, and because otherwise they're only getting, you know, maybe their assault shot and one other attack, versus Warmongers who can go in, kill a thing, berserk, and then maybe get 2 or 3 more. You have to risk a lot less Warmongers to do the same amount of damage you would be doing with War Spears, as well as just being naturally a little bit tougher to kill.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, it's fine.
I think it's really just a meta decision right now, and I don't think War Spears are objectively bad. I think they're not as easy to spam, and because they cost more, like... the decision point for them to be there has to be a little bit higher.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. All right, Primal Terrors, Kallus 1, Animag, probably where you're looking first.
Yep, Kallus 1, Animag, Thags 1, arguably. And then if you want to go the Beast Heavy route, you got your Abby 1, Abby 2. Arguably Saren, I think.
Yeah.
That's not a bad place for her, because randomly making Chosen Arm 22 seems pretty decent.
Yeah, and Fianna for a little while was played with Primal Terrors, and I don't think that's necessarily changed. I think she can still do what her plan was.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of casters that can potentially play there, but it's a lot about what your pairing is and what you want it to cover.
Yeah, of course.
I think the most common are going to be Animag and Kallus.
Yeah. All right, we got one more theme and maybe like 20 minutes left of the show. Right?
Yeah.
So, lay it on us.
Last theme is Ravens of War. So the comp rules are Warlocks, non-character War Beasts, which got opened up from just War Beasts with Flight.
Oh, super God.
Cool. Golab got added. So now Golab's in 2 themes.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love that?
He's special.
He's a great boy. Grotesque Models units, Strider Models units, Rotwings got added.
Yeah, Raptors as well.
Yep. And then Raptor Model units, they were always in there.
Yeah.
Hellmouth units, Bladed Nist Sorceress on Hellion, Forsaken solos, Spellmarter solos, Succubus solos, and then your one Merc or minion. So Succubus solos now includes Kralix.
Yep.
So he can be taken here as well. Golab got added, Rotwings got added, and yeah. Otherwise, it's the same as it was with the non-character restrictions.
Yeah, for army composition, for sure. Succubus solos also means you get a warlock attachment, so now there's one available in every theme.
Yep.
Which is nice. It wasn't necessarily important, but like it's kind of good to have one available.
It wasn't game-breaking, but it's nice to have the option.
Exactly.
And then your requisition options, these changed a bit. So you get two Harrier War Beasts for free, one Legion Command Attachment, one Bladedness Sorceress on Hellion, and one small or medium-based solo. So again, we don't have any medium-based solos for this, so that's just going to be your Forsaken, your Spell Martyrs, and that's it. Sorceress on Hellion got added as a free option.
Yep.
It wasn't before, so it's nice to be able to get them for free.
Yep.
The Harriers for free seems like a weird one at first, but with the rules changes, the Harriers make sense, and then it's your normal command attachment and small and medium-based solo.
Yeah, I think it's really nice that they added Sorceress and Hellions to this, because it was kind of strange back in the old days of, you can take all these flying flying beasts, but you can't take a Sorceress for free who like really synergizes with them.
Yep, so you ended up having to pay 6 points for it, which was kind of obnoxious.
Yeah, it sucked. All right, yep. Special rules.
Special rules. Lesser war beasts in this army gain marked target, which means other friendly faction models gain a +2 to ranged attack rolls against enemy models within 5 inches of a model with marked target and in its line of sight. So
this is new to Legion.
Yep, this is first time we've had this as well. It's important to note that it's just ranged attacks, not magic attacks, and you have to be within 5 inches and line of sight. The and line of sight is one that I see people mix up a lot.
Yeah, so it has to see you. It's a lot like Gorag, what are the Grimkin thingies?
Criminy.
Want to say Glimmer Imp?
Yes.
So yeah, mark target. It's great. You just have to be able to see the enemy model and be within 5 inches, and you get all your other models get +2 to range attacks, regardless of how far away they are.
Yep. So that's why the Harriers make sense, because you get two Harriers for free, and you just run them in and give the rest of your stuff a +2 to hit. And then the other rule is you can reroll the starting roll for the game. Children of the Dragon. Seems like a good addition to me. We lost Grotesque's Ambushing, but honestly, that's not really a big loss, and the reroll seems like it helps a little bit more anyway.
Yeah. I think the reroll is good, but uninspiring.
Like, I mean, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, you'll win a roll because of it.
It gives you the option, and it's better than nothing.
Yes.
Important things, I guess, are all lesser war beasts gain marked target. So, yep. Like, it's not just Harriers. You can throw Blight Wasps in there. If you have Shredders, if you have Stingers, whatever, they all gain it. But you can only take the Harriers for free, and they only come in groups of two. So, if you want to take 6 Harriers, like, you can do that. It's totally fine.
Yeah, it's interesting that they gain an ability just for being around, you know? And Harriers are pretty cheap to apply this as well, especially if you're taking them for free in doubles.
Yeah. They still have Elusive as an Animus, which I can't think of a single Warlock that hates the idea of having dodge.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then they're 13-13s with Annoyance. So, like, you can run them in, and against living things, that gives a little bit of a death buff to the rest of your army, unless they kill them first, but then they're spending attacks killing them.
Yeah, and Harriers, like, 13-13 with 13 doesn't typically go down in one hit.
No, it's usually going to be 2 attacks to get rid of them.
Yeah, so it's not nothing.
I remember when this had come out, I think it was Hungerford had mentioned that this was kind of going to be like the Legion Winds of Death. So if you're familiar with Scorn, it was going to be similar to that. So it's kind of it feels like they wanted to make it a very ranged-focused theme, but it also really supports all the flying beasts well. It supports a decent melee force. The option is just there to make maybe lower rat units and beasts a little bit harder, not harder to hit a little bit harder. Yeah. You know, with marked target, your Carnivians can go up to effective rat 7. Raptors go up to rat 9.
Yeah, that's
Grotesque
really good.
Banshees go up to rat 7. Your Striders go up to 8 plus CRA.
Yeah, that's good.
So, like, there's a lot of options there to make things that are typically on the lower end of the rat spectrum, where you're kind of questioning, okay, do I need to CRA here? Do I need to put a debuff on them? Now you just run a Harrier up, and the math works out a little bit better for you.
Yeah. Let's talk about Grotesques really quick. Like, have you played Banshees yet?
I've tried them in a couple of games with Veil 2.
Okay. Thoughts?
I still don't love them, honestly. It's... So I was using Veil 2 specifically because she's got Icy Grip, so that's a minus 2 defense for a warrior model unit.
Yeah.
And then I had a couple Harriers for the Mark target as well, thinking that, okay, Banshees can get up to rat 9.
Okay.
And they're, you know, hand cannon spray 6s, so POW 12s.
Yeah.
And, you know, brain damage might not come up, but that's something a lot of casters have to respect, is the chance that I can reach out because it's failed from across the table, apply Icy Grip to your caster, and then all I need is one hand cannon to break armor, and you just can't cast spells anymore.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You lose a turn of spell casting. Same thing with like Circle or Grimkin or Trolls, being able to just remove an Animus and say, nope, you don't get to cast spells now, can be enough to really push and win you a game in certain scenarios.
Yeah.
So like take like a Skin and Bones. It doesn't have base Pathfinder. It has a Lurker for that. And if you take its ability to cast Lurker away, suddenly maybe it's standing behind a wall because it thinks it's safe until this one Banshee just goes, nope, not anymore. And now it can't get to anything it needs to get to.
Yeah, and crucially, that Banshee would ignore that wall as well as because it's a spray.
Yeah. So it gets... I thought it would be, you know, a decent starting point. I don't love it, honestly.
Yeah.
So like, they're still very deliverable because they've got native force barrier. You take the assassin to give them stealth.
Yeah.
So they're def 14 against shooting.
Yeah. They become really hard to shoot off the table at that point.
Yep. Plus stealth, plus immune to blast.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So getting rid of them at range is difficult. And then being able to get into melee with them is not impossible, but it's also going to require a lot of attacks to get rid of them because it's still a fairly cheap 10-man unit.
Yeah. So my first thought when you said Veil 2 was why not Veil 1? You have Insight and you have Chiller.
I mean, that was another thought. My bigger problem with that is Veil 2 can apply everything from a little bit farther away and stay safer.
Right.
Whereas Veil 1 with Insight wants to be a little bit farther up the table, and I don't know if there's enough things in the list to block landing zones and keep things from getting to her.
Okay, fair enough.
So it's definitely one that's on my radar to try out, but that was just the original thought.
All right. So moving away from jank, who do you look to for Ravens of War?
So I'm currently running Fianna in it. She's a lot of fun there with a bunch of Nerfs, having access to Golab, the free charges for everything. You know, Striders are naturally high defense, and then Rotwings are relatively high defense, and can make everything in the list hit very hard because of Fury, and you still have Iron Flesh to keep yourself safe from blasts.
Right.
The other ones that I've been looking at are like Lilith 1 and 3. There's a lot of guns in there. They both like Mark Target. They both like having things that are like Raptors, like Striders, that are fairly self-sufficient. They don't really need anything from a caster. And then Thags 2 is another one I've been looking at.
Okay, we haven't seen much of him lately.
Yeah, he really likes Golab. It lets him play a little bit more aggressively if he needs to go in and try and man mode something himself. And if you're going less battle group heavy, you've got Manifest Destiny if you need it, but you're really relying on Scourge at that point, and just being able to throw out a couple AoEs of knockdown isn't really a bad thing.
Right.
How about you? Have you been playing it at all?
No, my kind of brain was in Children of the Dragon mode for a little while. I wanted to make use of the free Scathe Crews, which they're not great.
A for effort.
That's my assessment of them. No, Ravens of War, I think I'd probably follow you in the Fianna route. Fury on Rotwings is amazing. Fury on Grotesques are amazing. I think Golab, obviously, with Fury, just murders whatever he wants and sprints out.
He sure does. Oh, 17 Weapon Master.
Yeah. Striders are interesting. People are kind of high on them right now. I don't know if getting CRA back is enough for me to want to play them, but I can see the appeal.
Yeah. I see where you're coming from. It's a nice quality of life change for him. The more important one, I think, is just being able to take sorceresses for free.
Yeah.
Because you take two of them, and now you've got 2 5-inch AoEs of it doesn't matter what your armor is, I can auto-plink you to death. And Striders just give you a fairly cheap way of throwing out 8 shots that let you do that.
Yeah, Striders are actually surprisingly cheap for, at 9 points for a unit, and then 4 maybe free for another 2 guns, because both of the models in the UA have a gun.
Yep, it's 4 points for the UA. So yeah, it's 13 points for the full loaded out unit. It gives them Repo 3 and Hunter as well then, so they ignore concealment and cover, which makes Ret 6 a little more bearable.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of ways to go in Ravens of War, which is really interesting. Like, you can build the Beast Heavy Abbey 2 list, which we talked about last episode, or you can go kind of a mixed combined arms unit. You know, you take some Grotesques, take some Raptors, take some Strider Rangers, and then grab yourself a Golab and maybe like a Carney and a Seraph, and kind of make use of the free charges from the Hellion and kind of just get in there.
Yeah. So, the point being, a lot of the themes just getting changed opened them up, I think, pretty significantly.
Yes.
And then the changes that have kind of happened around them also opened everything up. So, again, I'm going to say back in the day, but it wasn't really that long ago. The obvious answer, the obvious, you know, pairing was Primal Terrors plus Oracles, like 90% of the time. And then occasionally you'd see like Thags 1 in Children of the Dragon.
Yeah.
Now with the changes, it opens everything up a lot, where our pairing isn't quite so dictated and quite so easy to look at. People are still preparing for Primal Terrors because it's still a threat, and we're getting kind of caught in the crossfire with a lot of the Tharn stuff that's out there right now. But Ravens is absolutely viable. Children's absolutely viable. And Oracles is still, I think, a mystery. I think a lot of people have kind of written it off and said, well, we'll wait for somebody else to figure it out.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to make a comeback, and it's going to make a comeback strong.
Yeah, somebody's going to do something cool with it.
You know, you could be that guy. You could be the one who does something cool with it.
I do love Jank, but I am not that good.
I believe you could put Bethane in there and make something happen.
You are wrong.
I didn't say it'd be something good, but...
Speaking of Bethane...
Oh, God, no!
Okay, no, you started this. No. Hungerford has been selling me a bill of goods that he better deliver on.
Oh, he better?
Yeah.
What are you going to do if he doesn't?
I'm going to lose it. Lose my mind.
Are you going to send a strongly worded letter?
I'm going to buy all of the Bethane models I can and just mail them to him.
I don't think that's going to upset him at all. Maybe not. If anything, they'll be like, oh, we just sold 200 of these, and funnily enough, we got a box of 200 of them back in. What the hell?
Demand a refund. He's been talking about how he wants to look at her as a thing that he wants to change, and I would be very appreciative of that.
I mean, same. She was a very interesting caster in Mark 2, and then some things changed for Mark 3, and she spent a lot of time on the shelf.
Yep, and I think she's still going to be there for some time going forward, but if he makes good on his promise to look at her and does something novel with the ability to hop into and out of a war beast, I think that would be at least be fun.
I mean, yeah, that'd be nice. Something tells me that he's not as worried about you being a threat to him. I don't think Hungerford is sitting in Seattle right now being like, I got to get this right, otherwise that guy from the internet's going to be super pissed at me.
I'm just saying, I think it's indicative of how a lot of people feel. It's like, fix stuff, please. And Bethane, if you keep mentioning it, you know, it's going to become my rallying cry, at least.
I mean, I think it's a thing he wants to do, kind of like Hamilton wants to resculpt Typhon. Oh. It's not a matter of if they want to do it, it's a matter of if they get the okay to do it.
I know. All right, I think that'll do. I think this is a good episode. So I will say thank you all for listening. As always, you can join us on the Discord. The link to that will be available in the show notes underneath the episode. As a reminder, we are looking at doing patches with our brand new logo from Whale Owl Be Damned, so huge shout outs to her. If you want a patch, please comment that to that effect on our post, and we will look into maybe getting them done. Ryan.
We sure will. That's a thing that'll happen.
Yes. What do you got going on? I know we're kind of pretending we're going to be working in the future on this one, but...
Nah, it's fine. Nothing really, honestly.
No? Well, yeah.
It's December.
Yeah. There's nothing. Holidays. So if we
hopefully see more events come January, and
yeah,
that'll be that.
So find us on the Discord. If we don't talk to you guys again this year, have yourselves a great Christmas. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, etc., and a happy new year. And we'll see. Maybe we'll come back. Maybe this will all be pointless.
Yuletide greetings from this heretic to you. Enjoy.
There you go. Thank you all for listening to episode 55 of Blightbringers. We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye, everybody. Say goodbye, Bubs. He doesn't like all of you enough to say goodbye.
Yikes.
The cat has spoken.